contrary to what our good friends, the Jehovah's false witnesses, tell us, that these are not Jehovah witnesses, that these are Jewish, and it, because we're going to look at it and see that we see that they come from the tribes of Israel. These are Jewish evangelists that will be spreading out throughout the earth, sharing the gospel. We see that there will be two witnesses in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of controversy as to who they are. We talked about it last week. Some people say that it's Elijah and Enoch. Some people say that it's Elijah and Moses. And there are other submissions as to who these individuals are. But there'll be two witnesses that will testify during the tribulation.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of the fifth Glaze for the first half of the fifth seal.
All right. We are looking at today, Revelation 6 through 6:9-11. And just by way of review, we go back to chapter 5 and recall that there was a scroll in heaven and that there was no one worthy to open the scroll, that they looked in heaven, they looked on earth, they looked under the earth, and they found no one worthy to open the scroll and loose the seals. And then we see that a lamb came up before the throne, and that the lamb was worthy to open the scroll. And all heaven burst out with praise and worship. Worthy is the lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and power. So all heaven just began to praise the Lamb. And as we leave chapter 5, we move into chapter 6, where the Lamb begins to open the scroll and loose the seals. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the first four seals that were loosed, and we saw that there were four riders on horses. There was the rider on the first horse who had a bow with no arrow, and we said that that was the Antichrist. There was a rider on the red horse, which symbolized bloodshed. There was the rider on the black horse that symbolized death, and then there was the or famine, and there was the rider on the pale horse, and that symbolized death. So we come up now to the fifth seal. And it is looking at this fifth seal that we read about the martyred saints. Let me read Revelation 6:9-11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should not rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. We're looking at this fifth seal during Bible study this afternoon, and the fifth seal deals with the martyr of the saints. We see that during the tribulation period, a lot of people will not take the mark of the beast, and because they refuse to take the mark, some of them will be killed for the testimony of Christ. So now people will say, well, if the church is gone, then Where are these Christians coming from? Where are these saints coming from? Well, now remember, and we haven't looked at this yet, there will be three entities that will witness during the tribulation. First of all, there's going to be the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. Now, contrary to what our good friends, the Jehovah's false witnesses, tell us, that these are not Jehovah witnesses, that these are Jewish, and because we're going to look at it and see that we see that they come from the tribes of Israel. These are Jewish evangelists that will be spreading out throughout the earth, sharing the gospel. We see that there will be two witnesses in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of controversy as to who they are. We talked about it last week. Some people say that it's Elijah and Enoch. Some people say that it's Elijah and Moses. And there are other submissions as to who these individuals are. But there'll be two witnesses that will testify during the tribulation. And then we read about an angel who flies here to and fro proclaiming the everlasting gospel. So the gospel will be getting out during the tribulation. People will be getting saved. And when they get saved, some of those saved individuals, or should I say all those saved individuals, will refuse to accept the mark of the beast. And so they probably will be persecuted. They probably will be martyred. And so this is where these people in Revelation 6, 9 through 11 come in. So we see, first of all, the altar of the saints in verse 9. He says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar. These saints are martyred, slain during the tribulation. They are under the altar. This suggests that they have been purchased by the blood and that their deaths are a sacrifice on the altar of heaven. So these individuals, even though they have been persecuted and killed on this earth, praise God, they are recognized in heaven. And so we need to realize that when we go through trials and tribulations on this earth, especially when we go through trials for sharing our faith or holding dear to our faith, that heaven recognizes that. You remember when Stephen was stoned, you know, it talked about the fact that Jesus stood up, right? When Stephen was getting stoned, that Jesus, he's seated at the right hand of God, but at that time, he stood up. So heaven recognizes those who are martyred for the sake of Christ. So we see they were under the altar, which suggests again that they have been purchased by the blood or that their deaths are sacrifices on the altar of heaven. I would like to say it's a little bit of both. I'd like to say that because they have been purchased by the blood and that their blood will be poured out on the altar of heaven as a sacrifice. Now, what are the two reasons that they are martyred? The text tells us because of the word of God, because they were sharing the gospel and the coming judgment that was upon the earth, and because of their testimony, their loyalty to Christ in the midst of persecution. So again, let me read Revelation 13, and it says in verse 16, and he causes all, that is the false prophet, who is the who does the bidding of the Antichrist. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell except he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So we see here that not only will these individuals who don't take the mark, well, they won't be able to buy or sell, but we see that going back to Revelation 6, that many of them will be persecuted because of their testimony. the loyalty to Christ. You know, and I often think how easy that we have it. Just think about the disciples, and we're going to look at something a little bit later about the lives of the disciples. Just think about the disciples and what they had to endure because of their testimony for Christ. And then you think about these people during the tribulation, what they're going to have to endure. And, you know, we come in the middle and, you know, we see people today being persecuted because of their faith. But in America right now, you know, we can praise God that, you know, we're not laboring under that persecution. You know, that I think as time goes on, it's going to become more intense, because if you look at our government, you know, they're making more and more decisions that are anti-Christian. You know, Muslims can in Detroit and in Michigan, they can broadcast their prayers three times a day over loudspeakers and everybody here. But as far as Christians, you know, you can't even put up a nativity scene anymore. You can't have the Ten Commandments in public places. So, you know, you look at where things are headed, and, you know, it's headed towards, at some point, this martyrdom is going to become, I don't know how widespread it will be in America, but we already see mild cases of martyrdom. We even see, you know, people being thrown in jail for the gospel, you know, pastors. You know, there was a, I think it was the mayor of Houston at one point, wanted all the pastors to submit their sermons to the city hall to be reviewed, to make sure that they weren't saying anything against, you know, people who are living alternative lifestyles. That if you said something, then, you know, they were going to take away your tax exempt status, or they were going to put you in jail. So, you know, we see that this is coming, saints. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, that is coming. And we as Christians, you know, we right now, you know, we need to make up our mind that we're going to stand for the word of God. You know, we're going to, you know, we're not going to be hindered in getting the gospel out. You know, Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me, you know, in the world, I'll be ashamed of you. So, you know, we don't want to back out. We don't want to back down, but we want to continue to stand for the word of God. And then we want to have a testimony that in the midst of, you know, people compromising, and there's a lot of Christians that are compromising their stand on things, compromising their position on things. You know, they are getting involved in sin because they're compromising their testimony. And we're you know, it's going to come to a point that, you know, if God doesn't take us home to glory, that, you know, we're going to have to deal with the fact that we're going to maintain and hold fast to our testimony and be a witness for the Lord. So we see that these were the two reasons why these martyrs were killed, you know, because of the word of God and because of their testimony. Next, we see the anger of the saints, that, you know, these saints got a little attitude, right? They asked God, well, let's look at verse 10. We see in Revelation 6:10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So they asked God, how long will it be before God pours out his wrath upon those who have killed them? Notice that they didn't ask for God's grace, but they asked for his judgment. The day of grace has ended, and it is now a time for judgment. So God's grace will be extended, I believe, during the tribulation to those who have never received the gospel or heard the gospel. I believe that God will give them an opportunity to come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. But the tribulation as a whole is not a time for the demonstration of God's grace. the tribulation as a whole is a time for God's judgment. The day of grace, you know, we are in the day of grace right now, the church age. This is the day of grace. You know, after the church is raptured out, it's going to be a day of judgment. So in keeping with their call for vengeance and justice, they address him as Lord, holy and true. Now, this is very interesting, and you might not pick this up by reading the English translations of the Bible, but usually when we see the word Lord in the New Testament, it's the word Kurios. All right. And this was the common New Testament word for Lord. But notice now in verse 10, they say, how long, O Lord? Right. Notice the term change. It's not Kurios, but it's despotes, which means master or ruler. You know, it means one who comes down with the iron fist, master or ruler. It speaks of God the Father, might, power, and judgment. So we see that this is a powerful time that we see in the Lord.
You okay, Pastor?
Yeah, my screen went off. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. My screen. Put it back up again.
All right. Okay. I don't know what happened there, Saints.
Yeah, I saw you looking around.
All right.
Okay.
Let's try this again. All right, we good?
Yes.
All right. Sorry about that. Okay. Yeah, my screen just went off. I don't know what happened there. Okay, so God is referred to here as the despotes, you know, which speaks of his might, power, majesty, and authority. We see the answer to the saints. They were given white robes, which were symbolic of the everlasting righteousness that God had conferred upon them. God told them to rest because other saints would be martyred before God's complete judgment is poured out on the wicked. So even though they cried out to God and they asked him, how long, O Lord, you know, when are you going to revenge us when are we going to get vengeance on the ones that have taken our blood? Then God says, rest a little while. Rest a little while. So, you know, this is a powerful passage to let us know what is in store for God's people during the tribulation. Now, what I'd like to do, and I did email out a couple of articles for you to have, but just want to go through some of these things now as we talk about martyrdom, as we talk about this seventh seal, that this seventh seal deals with the saints being martyred. Now, you may remember several years ago, there were Christians in Egypt that were beheaded because they refused to deny Christ. And ISIS was the group that beheaded them, 21 Christians. And, you know, as you look at, you know, these individuals kneeling down, you know, I wonder what was going through their mind. You know, it seems like maybe at any point they could have said, look, I deny Christ. That, you know, they could have been like Peter. I don't know the man. You know, I'm not a Christian. But they, it looks like, calmly kneeled and were beheaded. Now, I believe that as we read the book of Revelation, the way that Christians will be martyred during the tribulation will be by beheading. You're going to say, well, where do you get that from, Pastor Glaze? Well, here you go right here. Revelation 20 in verse 4, it says this, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were what? Beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So I believe that during the tribulation, you know, as we think back of capital punishment over the years, you know, go back to the Old Testament, you know, it was stoning, right? You know, as you move to other places in the New Testament, it was throwing people into a fiery furnace, right? That was a form of capital punishment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was throwing people into lion's den, right? That's what Daniel, that's what happened to Daniel. There was crucifixion. That's what happened to Jesus Christ. But it seems like maybe the main form of capital punishment during the tribulation will be beheading. And so, you know, we see that even as we go back and look at, you know, these individuals, ISIS, and I believe that there's something, and don't hold me to this, you know, I probably shouldn't even say it because I believe I read somewhere that the Quran says that to behead infidels. So, you know, this might give us an indication that Islam might, you know, play a pretty significant role during the tribulation period. You know, I'm not saying that the Antichrist is going to be Muslim. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that Islam might play a pretty significant role during the tribulation, because we see that one of the main forms of capital punishment will be beheading. Okay, so, you know, we need to understand that as we look at these martyrs in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Now, I sent you something, and it dealt with the martyrdom of the apostles, the martyrdom of the apostles, that all of the apostles faced martyrdom. Somebody gonna say, well, John wasn't martyred. Well, you're right. He wasn't martyred, but he did face martyrdom. So let's just go through the apostles and see, you know, how each one of them died. Matthew suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia. He was killed by a sword wound. What about Mark? Now, Mark wasn't an apostle, but he did write one of the gospels. Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead. Now, you know, I want you to stay with me because I'm going to say something that's pretty significant after a while when we get to it. And a lot of what I'm saying now is leading up to that. All right. We see Luke, again, who wasn't an apostle, but Luke was hanged by idolatrous priests on an olive tree in Greece as a result of his tremendous preaching to the lost. The apostle John, very interesting, that he was banished to the Isle of Patmos, where he was thrown into a cauldron of boiling oil.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the fifth seal. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Fifth Seal, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Fifth Seal. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Fifth Seal from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.